Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you again to our Bible study, our recording, our ABCs of Christian Growth. We're in the letter J, and this is the third lesson in the letter J, and it's for judgment and judging. Thank you for joining in today, brothers and sisters, and I believe this will be our last lesson having to do with this matter of judgment and judging in the Scriptures. And on our last recording, we began a portion of the study entitled Final Thoughts About Judgment and Judging, if you remember. And there were different categories that we were looking over, such as somebody was to ask you and say, well, what does the Bible say concerning judgment and judging? How does it describe judgment and judging? That was one thing that we spoke about on our last recording, if you remember. And the Bible spoke of it as a day of wrath. You see, the world does not understand this matter of judgment, and they miscombobulate, they mess it all up, having to do with this judgment and judging. If you was to go to the world to get a definition or an opinion about what judgment and judging is, they would just tell you that it's something that you're not supposed to do, and that is not anything but a negative thing. Well, that's not so. We found out in our study and what the Scriptures have taught us that there's many different kinds of judgment. There's judgments that you need to exercise daily. There's judgments that the Bible commands you to judge all things. There are judgments that the Bible teaches us to stay out of, to not have anything to do with, to, if it's not any of our business, to mind our own business, the Bible teaches us concerning judgment. But it definitely teaches us that we are to judge righteous judgment. The Bible teaches us the right way to judge, not to not judge at all. That's ridiculous. Everybody judges. Everybody judges. A judgment can be an opinion, we remember that we studied. It's an opinion. Well, my judgment about this is, well, that does not necessarily condemning anybody or pointing a finger at anybody. It's just an opinion. That's a judgment. That's a judgment according to the Scriptures, remember? Well, final thoughts about judgment and judging, and recapping a little bit, the Bible describes judgment and judging as a day of wrath, a day of judgment, and the judgment seat of Christ. These are things that the world is not interested in talking about. Isn't that a funny thing? They want to talk about judgment all the time, but it's always having to do with somebody else's rights or having to do with some selfishness or some kind of nonsense, but they don't never want to talk about the judgment of God or the wrath of God or the judgment seat of Christ or things like that. It seems like somebody that's interested in talking about judgment and getting the definitions and the meanings of it, that matter would come up every now and then, don't you? But it doesn't. But that's what the Bible describes judgment and judging as, okay? And then we talked about another thing. What about the time of judgment and judging? Somebody asked you about the Scriptures, and there's many different times and seasons. The Ecclesiastes talks about the times and the seasons and things like that having to do with judgment. And the time of judgment the Scripture talks about is after one's death. Somebody asks you, well, what's the Bible say about what's the time of judgment? Well, the time of judgment is after one's death. The time of judgment is at Christ's return. The time of judgment is on a certain specific appointed day, the Bible says. Also, the Bible says that after the world's destruction is a time of judgment and judging. Of course, we're thinking about the white throne judgment and the judgment of the dead that are talked about in the Scriptures as the dead, that when they're raised, it's the judgment of the dead. Okay, and then we also went into a third thing that our truth that we wanted to talk about, and it was talking about the grounds, the grounds of judgment and judging? Well, it's according to one's works, according to one's faith, according to one's conscience. You see, now, that one there, according to one's conscience, I think that's what the world's got a big old problem with. That judgment of conscience gets them all the time, and that's where their word of judgment comes in, their definition or their use of the word comes in, having to do with one's conscience. Because when one's conscience is, at least they got a conscience still, but they're trying to eliminate that in society now, that there be no conscience in society, and nobody's sorry for anything, and nobody's repentant of anything, no conscience. And the Lord talks about the conscience being seared, like you take an iron and a hot iron and stick it on your forearm there and just let it sit there and cook for a minute and take it all. Well, by the time after you suffered and whined and cried after a while, when that thing healed up, there'd be a great big old scar on your arm there. It looked like an iron, in the shape of an iron. But one fact about that is there wouldn't be any feeling in it anymore. You could take a pen and just stab that thing all over the place, or just stick it all over the place for that, but there wouldn't be no feeling in it. It's seared with a hot iron. It doesn't have any feeling anymore. It doesn't react to anything, good or evil. It just doesn't have any conscience anymore. And then one other thing that we talked about is the ground of judgment and judging. What the Bible says is according to the perfect law of liberty. According to the perfect law of liberty and according to God's law in Romans chapter 2, we talked about. And then we talked about also according to Christ's words. And you read in the book of John through around chapter 2 and 3 and 4, you see where the Lord's talking about his words to those Pharisees and to those people that are starting to give him trouble when he started his ministry, and talking about him doing things and healing people on the Sabbath and blabbity blab and all that stuff and business. And a man been, for instance, I was reading today where a man been by the pool of Siloam for 38 years. 38 years, and he couldn't get himself in that water fast enough to get healed. And when Jesus healed him, it was on the Sabbath, and the only thing that they could talk about was, well, why'd you heal him on the Sabbath? They wasn't interested at all about that man finally getting to walk and get around. And the Lord told him after he healed him, take up your bed and go home. And the man got healed and got up, and he'd been 38 years not being able to walk, and finally could walk, and he took his bed up, and he was headed home, and the Pharisees caught him. And said, what are you doing carrying your bed around? And they knew that that man had laid down there at that pool for 38 years with an ailment. He said, well, this man healed me. He said, what man healed you on the Sabbath? Wasn't concerned in the least bit about that man being healed or about this man being able to walk finally after 38 years. Wasn't in the least bit interested in that, but they was interested in somebody breaking the Sabbath. That's what Christ come in. When the Lord come in, he started talking to them about his words and explaining to them some pretty doctrinal things concerning his words, and that they couldn't hear his word and they couldn't understand him, and that his words were from the Father. But according to Christ's words, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the grounds, and we're talking about the time and the description of judgment and judging according to the Scriptures. All right, today we're going to get into another one. And we probably will finish this up today, but we're going to talk about the results of judgment and judging. What's going to come out of it? What does the Bible talk about? Now, that's something that people are interested in. They want to know that when the judgment happens in the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures, what happens after that? What happens after that? What's the results of judgment and judging according to the Scriptures? Well, one result is, it's the separation of the righteous and the wicked. Now, that blows the whole society all to pieces, doesn't it? Because they're trying to get everybody all to come together. Let's all come together and be one big blob of goo. And just everybody do anything you want to do. And everything's relative and everything's related. And there ain't nothing. There's no polarities. There's no left and right, up and down, salt and pepper, black and white. There's none of that. That's foolishness. And it's a lie. And I'm not giving my sanity up for that, are you? You have to give your sanity up in order to believe that mess. But they're convincing themselves, and they're patting each other on the back for lying to each other. And the Lord said they would do that, and they would enjoy it, and they are. But they're not going to enjoy it after the judgment, because it's a lie. And one thing that the Lord's going to do is separate the righteous from the wicked. You see, nowadays, having to do with this judgment and judging, that's one of the big issues with the world, is having to do with judgment and judging, is that they don't want to differentiate the righteous and the wicked. They don't want the realization or the recognizing of good and bad. They don't want to see the differences, because they don't want to be picked out, you see. And they don't want their conscience to be offended. And they don't want God in the picture. Too much God. There's too much God. Get God out of here. And, you see, but the separation of the righteous from the wicked, that's going to be one result of judgment and judging in the Scriptures. Well, where do you see that? Well, Matthew chapter 13, the Bible says this: Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. Right away, the Lord made polarities. He made differences there. He called it the children of the kingdom and the good seed, and the tares are the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. The Lord just has a way of making things so simple, doesn't he? But definitely in that scripture right there, we see a separation going on. And the Lord is for separation. That's the whole business about this sin problem, is that the Lord had to make a way to separate sin from him, but still save us. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ come in the middle. He mediated that, and he made it possible for us to be able to come back to the Lord, and that the Lord would not accept or have his holiness offended or violated because of sin that is in us. So Christ, the Lord Jesus, mediated that and took care of that problem for us. And we get to go back to the Father by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and having his righteousness upon us. Okay, so separation from the righteous, from the wicked. Another scripture that we can look at is 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 through 18 says, Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Separation. And what communion hath light with darkness? Separation. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Separation. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? One believes and one doesn't believe. They're different, separate, not the same. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. It seems like the Lord's got a certain opinion about this matter of judgment and judging when it comes to the results of judgment and judging. The Bible teaches that if judgment and judging is executed properly, it's going to have a result of separation. Jesus said that he didn't come to bring everybody together. He came to divide and cause division. And he did. And he does. And if you say you have anything to do with Jesus Christ and God the Holy Ghost indwells you and you are saved, you got a problem with the world. Or at least you should have. You should have a problem with being around wicked stuff and ungodliness and wicked people. Yeah, you should. You should. And it should be living in you. And it should grow stronger and stronger the closer we get to the rapture before the Lord comes. It should be the more you read and the more you study God's Word, the more intense it ought to get. Not that you wouldn't lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're not going to sit down and eat and fellowship with the ungodly. You're commanded not to. The Bible says, no, not to eat. That's what it says. One result of judgment and judging when it comes to the Scriptures is that there's going to be some separation going on from the righteous and the wicked. If you can comfortably run around with the world and its ways and the things that go on in the world and the language and the conversation and the events and all that business that goes on in the world, you need to check your spirituality, because everything in the Scriptures teaches us that one of the results of proper judgment and judging is that it's going to separate you from things. That's right. That's right. What else? Well, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 15 through 20 says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? Now, wait a minute. Christ is judging that poor harlot. He said you're not to take that body that God the Holy Ghost dwells in and go attach it to a harlot. That's mighty prejudice of the Lord, isn't it? But that's what he says. Separation. And then he says, God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And then he says, flee fornication. Separate yourself. Run from it. Flee from it. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you can't see separation or hear separation in that, you got a hearing problem and a seeing problem. because it's all over the Scriptures, and it's commanded. The Bible says that the results of judgment and judging, and see, the world doesn't want the results to come out like that. The world wants the results to come out so they can have their sin and just slobber all over their sin and keep their sin, but yet not offend anybody. And nobody offend them. Shut up and everybody be quiet and everybody go ahead and have all the sin that you want. Nobody gets in trouble and nobody points the finger. That's not the way the Scriptures describe it. The Scriptures say that when proper judgment and judging takes place, the results is going to cause separation. Separation of the righteous and the wicked. And it has for 2,000 years plus. Even separation to the point to where they burn people alive. Separation to the point to where they put them in the cages and pour gasoline on them and set them afire. Yeah. Now what else? The results of judgment and judging. Well, retribution for disobedience is a result of judgment and judging. What are you talking about? Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 10, the Bible says, Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to what? To recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. God likes paying people back for people that bother you. Now that sounds like a God that just is one-sided, isn't he? I'm glad of it, ain't you? See, and it's a righteous thing. A righteous thing. It's the right thing, God says, that needs to be done. It's righteous. See, and it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know anybody that doesn't obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the gospel of the grace of God is today. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that you must be born again. And if you're not born again, then you are not obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, separation, and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Retribution. Payback. You're going to get paid back. Who's going to get paid back? The ones that tried to bring all things together and make everything look good, and everybody have your sin, and just have a good old time. The Lord says, no, that's not the way it is. That's not the way it's going to be. He said, first of all, I'm going to pay back the people that give you trouble for doing right. And it's a righteous thing for me to do that. I'm kind of glad to be able to do that for you. And I'm glad that the Lord does do that for me. He protects me, doesn't he, you? I've seen times that he's protected me, and he keeps the wicked off of you and keeps them away from you, and I'm glad of it, and keep them devils and the wicked people away from me. And to you that are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God. Does that sound like a God that's coming to give everybody kisses? And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he named who he's coming after. Who shall be punished. It didn't say he was going to come down here and reprimand them. He said he's going to punish them. Why? With everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. For not obeying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Retribution for disobedience, according to the Bible, is a result of judgment and judging. People of the world today ain't scared of God. They don't fear God, and they're not scared of him coming down here in flaming fire, going to take vengeance on them, and that his wrath abides on them. They don't want to hear it, and they don't want to think about it. They want to waller in the mire in the pigsty. And when you come to try to pull them out of the pigsty, they're going to cuss you out and give you trouble. And that's okay. Because the Lord's going to settle it up with them. It wasn't my choice for him to stay in the pig pen. The Lord got me out of the pig pen. And I'm glad of it. I'm not going back in it. And I hope you don't. But I'm not getting in the pig pen to get anybody out. I'll throw them something and pull them out. And that's what you better do. The Lord teaches us to stay separated from that mess. Because it's not going to make one. You put one rotten apple in a bushel of apples, all them good apples are the majority. Right? But they're not going to make that rotten apple good. That one rotten apple is going to ruin the whole bunch. That's just the way it is. Retribution for disobedience. God's going to pay them back. The Lord's coming, and his mission when he comes is to make war and to pay the wicked back. Does that sound like mercy? That's not mercy. Mercy's right now. Mercy's negative. Mercy is, you better get saved. Mercy's not sin, and then when I get there, I'll forgive you of it. Mercy is, you better be scared enough to know that I'm coming and get saved before I get there. That's mercy. Mercy is that you get to draw another breath and not fall into hell tonight. That's mercy. What else? Well, here's another one. A crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness. The results of judgment and judging. The Bible says, because of the right judgment and judging that you make while you're in the body, there's going to be rewards for it. A crown of righteousness, the Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not only me, but unto all them that love his appearing. I'm going to be glad to see the Lord, aren't you? I mean, we living in this body for 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, and we're worshiping the one in the book, the Jesus Christ that we know in the book, and we're worshiping him in spirit and in truth, and then all of a sudden he shows up and we can see him. Can you imagine how our hearts are going to be to recognize him that we've been following for so long? What a wonderful thing. And the Bible says that he's going to give you a crown for that, for waiting for his loving his appearing and not being ashamed of him when he comes. All right. Here's another thing. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about the results of judgment and judging. And here's another thing having to do with last concerns, you know, before we close out this series that we're been studying on this judgment and judging. Here's some serious concerns about judgment and judging that we need to be concerned about. Some final thoughts are serious concerns about judgment and judging. Taking judgment and judging a little more serious. Excuse me. That's one thing that the world's trying to do is, I don't know how to put it, kind of make judgment and judging something that's not important. Well, they're doing it. I mean, you can tell that in the courtrooms. You can tell that in the Oval Office. You can tell that in the Supreme Court. You can tell that in the Senate and the House and all of that. You can tell that. That judgment and judging is not a serious concern anymore because they talk a lot of talk, but they ain't changing nothing because they don't have a God anymore. You see, back when the United States had a God, the God, and had His Word, they had authority behind what they were saying, and they had the ability to follow through because God the Holy Ghost honored that and helped us follow through with it. And that's why every country in this world feared this country, because there's a God over there in that land. But there's not the God here anymore. There are many gods in this land, but there's not the God here anymore. They said, get out. And he backed off. And look what's going on. But there are some serious concerns to be thought about as we close this study out about judgment and judging. What's one of them? Well, one of them is that you better be prepared for it. You better be prepared for judgment and judging that's on its way. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, that's what they're saying, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. That's a serious concern. That we should live right. You ought to live a life in the body that's pleasing to the Lord, no matter what it takes. Because all that's going to matter when the Lord comes to get us is the Lord and what we've done for Him. Anything that you're doing having to do with trying to better yourself in this world and better your situation in this world without God is vain and vanity. You're wasting your time. The Lord says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's a serious concern. One better be prepared for it. Judgment and judging is on the way. It's coming. And it's not going to be anything for us like it is for the lost. We ought to be busy telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Get you some tracts and pass them out. Even if it's one a day and you set it down, the Lord can use that and somebody pick it up and see that word, see His word, and get saved. I know before I got saved, I read a whole bunch of gospel tracts and I loved them. I loved reading them things, but I didn't know why. And the Lord drew me with them things. But somehow, some way, you ought to be burdened for what's coming for the lost. That's a serious concern when it comes to judgment and judging. They think this matter of don't judge me because I got purple and green and red hair and I think I'm a girl. That's a small potatoes right there when it comes to what's coming as far as judgment and judging. The Lord's going to burn that colored rainbow hair, and He's going to burn whatever that body is for eternity. That's what's coming. The Lord probably won't even bring up the matter of your hairdo, or bring up whether you're a girl or a boy, or whether you thought you was a girl or a boy. He's going to bring up what your relationship was with His Son. And then after that doesn't get your name written in the book of life, He's going to check your works out in them other books, and you're going to end up in a lake of fire. That's pretty serious. That's a serious concern when it comes to judgment and judging. What's the Bible say about a serious concern? What should I be seriously concerned about? That judgment and judging is coming, and you need to be prepared for it. The Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. 2 Corinthians 5:11. The Bible says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Paul says, I try to talk them into it with everything I got. We persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. If you're saved, you know what God's grace is like, and you know what He saves you from. And the more you read that Bible, and the more you find out the truths in God's Word, and how serious judgment and judging is in God's Word, the more you ought to be concerned about lost people. I didn't say go and fellowship with them and join in with them and do the things that they do so you can win them to the hippie Jesus that they think He is. And say all that. Said keep your character with the Lord and watch out and stay alert. And when it's time to reap somebody, be ready. Because the Lord will bring them by. And you can water anytime you want to. Plant a seed. Say God's name. Anything. Anything having to do with spirituality. Spiritual stuff. In this dark world. Yeah. It's a serious matter. It's a serious concern. One better be prepared for it. I guarantee you, and I can say this without proof, but I know it to be true, that somebody in this past 24 hours has went into hell. The Bible says in Amos, listen to this, in Amos chapter 4, verse 12, Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. O Israel. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest unto your consciences." Read that just a minute ago. Matthew chapter 24, verse 5 says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." That's a serious concern. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 11, "And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many." That's a serious concern. Why? Because people need to be prepared for what's coming. And if they're deceived, they're not prepared. What else? What else is a serious concern? Well, one better beware of deception, just like we got to saying, because there's deceit all over the place. How do you tell the difference? Just like what you're doing right now. Study God's Word and know what the truth is. And believe it and nail it down and don't veer from it, not one inch. No matter what happens. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 11, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Mark chapter 13, verse 6 says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Luke chapter 21, verse 8 says, "And he said, Take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them." That's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself warning you not to be deceived and led away. You say, "Well, how do I keep that from happening?" Get in the book. Find out what the truth is and what Christ says and what the Word of God says, and everybody that says contrary to it, keep away and out of your mind and out of your ears. Don't listen to them. It's nonsense. It's lies. It's deceit. Everybody is not right. The majority is usually wrong. And the Lord said that. He said, "Wide is the path that leadeth unto destruction." What are we talking about? Judgment and judging? Serious concerns about it, that one needs to be prepared for it. And one better beware of deception. What are we talking about? Final thoughts as we close out this study concerning judgment and judging. You see how minuscule this matter that the world's always talking about? You can't judge me and all that nonsense. It seems just kind of childish now, doesn't it? After we have studied what real judgment and judging is in the Scriptures and how broad an area it is. It seems kind of minuscule and childish about this "don't judge me" garbage that goes on, doesn't it? Luke chapter 21 and verse 8, "And he said, Take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them." Second John chapter 1, verse 7 and 8 says, "The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." Of course, he's talking about John the Baptist that came to bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light. What else is a serious concern besides preparing, being prepared, and not being deceived? Well, one better warn the wicked of impending judgment and judging. if you really believe that God puts people in hell, it should make a difference in the way that you look at people. And it should. It's not my fault somebody went to hell today that I had no idea was on this planet. But it's my fault for not being concerned about it. Because the Bible teaches me that when it comes to judgment and judging, there are some serious concerns. And one of them is that the wrath of God abides on everybody that has not been born again. And I was one of them. But I'm no longer that way anymore. I've been born again. And I'm on my way to heaven. That's my standing. I'm on my way to heaven no matter what happens in my life. So what do? We get on the side that we belong on, and we fight for that side, and we fight for its mission and its goal. And what is that right now? The gospel of the grace of God, getting people saved, and being concerned, and loving people with Christ's love, and not being part of wicked things and the ungodly. Being separate. Listen to what Romans chapter 1 verse 20 says. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Nobody is going to be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know. Nobody told me. The Bible says that the very things that you can see and touch give testimony of the invisible things that God is. One better warn the wicked of impending judgment and judging. Used to they called it doom. The doomsday preachers. The doomsday. Doom. That's exactly what it is. You're doomed. If you're not born again, you are doomed. Romans chapter 1 verse 3. Romans chapter 1 verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God. Wait a minute. Who knowing the judgment of God. That means they're privy to it. They know what God's going to do to them. What? Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but hath pleasure in them that do them. Man, that's going above and beyond mocking the Lord. You know God's going to judge you for it. You go ahead and commit it anyway, and you not only commit it yourself, but you have pleasure in the ones that do the same thing that you do. Sin is so good for a season. For a season it is. Now what about this thing of judgment and judging? Serious concerns about judgment and judging. One better be prepared for it. One better beware of deception. And one better warn the wicked of impending judgment and judging. So there we go. There's our study of judgment and judging. I think we've learned quite a bit, don't you? I have. It's broadened my thoughts and my about truth of judgment and judging in the Scriptures, and we've come from just about every avenue that we possibly could in the Scriptures, learning about who the judges were and why they had judges, and the nation of Israel, and then the Gentiles, and salvation having to do with it, and then the seven different judgments we learned of. Did you know all that stuff before? I didn't. So in closing out this study, it's imperative to stress the foolishness and outright lying concerning judgment and judging that's going on in the world today. You need to understand that. You need to recognize it. Why? Not only society has been deceived by this don't judge me mentality, it is that the courts and judges, police, arrests, investigations, and rule of law has been corrupted about what real judgment and judging is, because they have no God behind it anymore and no final authority anymore, and nobody knows which way it ought to go. One reason is government and society has put away the Lord God Almighty as the final authority and has rebelled and turned the shoulder and the heel up to the Lord to their own peril. You're seeing the breakdown of a country that used to have a God that was the strength of it, that backed up his very own words with his very own power, and the people were happy about it. And now they've kicked God out, and God says, okay, if that's what you want. He wipes his hands and backs up and says, go ahead, take yourself out. And that's exactly what's happening. God's not doing this. God's sitting back watching you do it to each other and yourself. His judgment and judging hasn't even began yet. But it's going to. In other words, if you or he or her or them or these don't like some way something is going on with judgment and judging concerning a matter, just say so and someone will find a way to change the rule to fit the offense. Hence, extinguish the offense. That's what's going on. As was mentioned sometimes in the beginning of this study that we talked about, judgment and judging consists of many different varieties. There's a legal judgment, a personal judgment of oneself, judgment of others, judgment in elections, judgment in sports, referees and officials, judgment in everyday going to and fro, shopping, prices, value, and on and on and on and on it goes. Judgment and judging. One of the most ridiculous statements in the world today that's been beaten to death and even sounds like a low-toned whine anymore is the old faithful, judge not that you be not judged. Most people could not tell you were, that quote comes, where that quote comes from, or where it's found, or what was meant when it was said. Judge not that you be not judged. Matthew chapter 7, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Lord Jesus Christ said those words, and meant every one of them. But he did not mean what the world and society's turned it into. People seem to, that is, when it comes to judgment and judging, forget to finish reading what the Lord finished with when he was teaching that. A text without a context is a pretext. They read what they want to read, hear what they want to hear. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5 says, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge. In other words, the Lord said that you're going to judge, for with what judgment ye judge. There you go, you're judging. With what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? You see the truth the Lord's speaking here? He's not saying not to judge at all. He's teaching you how to judge. Or how would thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? He's not saying don't judge. He never said that. Where did he say that? Thou hypocrite. Don't you dare judge. That ain't what he said. He said, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You see what the Lord was teaching there? He wasn't teaching you not to judge. He's teaching you how to judge. Did you get that? The Lord not one time insinuated not to judge someone else. Read it again. That's not what he says. The Lord says, rather, when you do judge, your conscience is going to show you whether you are or not a hypocrite by doing the same thing. If you judge somebody else and you do the same thing, you are a hypocrite and have no right to judge another concerning a matter. The lesson the Lord was and is teaching is look before you leap, because you're going to get the same thing back. People judge every day, all day long in society. The problem is when the finger turns on you and the finger is right. That's where the problem comes in. I want to keep my sin, and I don't want nobody to say nothing about it. That's the problem. It's the same thing as in Jesus' day. Jesus pointed out people's sins, and they didn't like it. But that didn't change anything. He was still right about it, and they didn't like it, just as they don't today. So what did they do? They showed their moral cowardice. Instead of condemning a murderer, Barabbas, and judging righteous judgment, they chose Barabbas and crucified the Savior. Same scenario today. The reason people moan and groan about judgment and judging is because it involves truth and change. And that's not an option. We should never judge when we don't have to. We should judge soberly and carefully when we do have to judge. We should manifest mercy in any judgment, if any way possible. We should have an underlying mercy within us as children of God, and listening to God the Holy Ghost that dwells in us, that if mercy can be given, then it should. But never to say that good is evil and evil is good. We should never forget that someday that we're going to be judged. Romans chapter 2 and verse 1 through 7 says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. He didn't say there's anything wrong with you judging. He said there's something wrong with you judging and doing the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them and doest the same things, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Wow. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 8, and that's what I think the verse that we began this study with. If thou seest, Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 8, if thou seest the oppression of the poor and the violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province? Marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. So there's what we ought to know about judgment and judging, brothers and sisters. This concludes our study on judgment and judging. Thank you for honoring the Lord and His Word by participating faithfully, and you have. It's been 27 studies that we've had in this, and I don't know, maybe 20-something hours. But we've learned quite a bit, haven't we? And we're going to go over it again sometime in ABCs of Christian Growth. And if you'd like to study, all you have to do is get a hold of me at Barnhouse Ministries at gmail.com, or either go online at barnhouseministries.com and leave a comment on there on the website, and I can get you the paperwork on these studies, or whatever you'd like to do. If you'd like to take them and teach them to somebody else, or have a Bible study of yourself, what a wonderful thing that would be. But one thing about it is that it's all God's words and what He said and what He says. We've not studied anything that we think or my opinion or this or that. We've talked about what saith the Lord. And if we didn't know what the Bible said, then that's exactly the way we put it. We don't know the answer to that. But most of it we do, don't we? The Bible says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." Romans chapter 8, verse 33. And then the Bible says, "Grudge not against one another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you, and thank you so much. I love you with Christ's love. Let me give you the rest of these scriptures for the rest of the study here for today. Are you ready? Matthew chapter 13, verse 36 through 43. Matthew 13, 36 through 43. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 through 20. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 6 through 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Amos chapter 4, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. Matthew chapter 24, verse 5. Matthew chapter 24, verse 11. Mark chapter 13, verse 6. Luke chapter 21, verse 8. 2 John chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 32. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. And then we went over it again, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. And Romans chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. And Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 8. All right, well, that concludes our study of the letter J, the third study in the letter J, for judgment and judging. And if there's not anything been poked in between, then we'll probably go on into K. And we have a couple studies in the letter K I believe you're going to enjoy, and I hope that you'll stay with us and that it should be blessed by it. We're always blessed by God's Word if we believe it and we care about it and we want to study it, and we're willing to listen and hear. The Bible says not to just listen, but hear. Hear the words of God and get understanding. And that's what we're doing. So the Lord bless you. Time to go get you something to eat or something to drink. See, that wasn't all that long, was it? You can get used to sitting down and giving God an hour every day. There's nothing wrong with that. And the Lord honors those that honor Him and honor His Word. Don't forget that. And He does. I mean, literally. And I honor you because I know what sacrifice you're making to be in the Word of God. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I look forward to getting into another truth and talking about it and learning about it with you. Bye-bye.